As we think about ministry and we think about everything that we have going on in this world, one of the things that we don't want to forget, and I think the Lord is telling us, is there's a lot of distraction, but we've got to remember we are about a certain calling as believers, those of us who have trusted in Christ, and we need to encourage each other in that way. And that is about ministry. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to define the word ministry. But we can't let everything that's going on in the world keep us from what we're doing. You know, we got the COVID. We got all this stuff that's happening right now. Elections, hurricanes.
The flu's coming up.
I mean, we got all kinds of things going on. So we want to make sure. And so today, our passage in the Scripture, I thank the Lord, you know, will address that for us. And there's going to be some good stuff in there. So would you join me in prayer, and then we'll get into the Scriptures, all right? Father, thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. Thank you for the songs we've sung. Lord, that we can join our voices together and say things together, say the same thing, the same way, even though we're different in voices. And those things that we're saying are about you and about what you've done, about who you are, about what's going on in the world. These are things that encourage us, Lord, so that we understand that you're in control and that we are your servants, those of us who have trusted in Christ. And what a privilege that is. Open our eyes, Lord, like we sang this morning, so that we might see you, Lord. We pray for that. We know that it is your work through us, and we sang about that this morning. It's not I, but Christ in me. That's what a mystery that is. We also sang, Lord, about it's because of what you have done. There's no one better than you. And you are faithful. What you have done in the past, we'll see you do it again. You are good and you're awesome. We pray that we would be encouraged this morning for having been here. Encourage us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're in the book of 2 Corinthians. And we're going to talk a little bit about ministry. And when you hear the word ministry, for me, the word ministry usually brings up some kind of idea like a pastor or a church worker or a missionary. I use the word, and maybe you do too, as like I'm going into ministry, you know, and that's what I did. I went into ministry. But in the Bible, in our passage specifically today, the word ministry is going to be something different. It really is that general calling that all believers have. Of course, there are some who are called to do things differently and whatnot. I get paid for some of the things that are ministry. Isn't that awesome? I do. And so I thank the Lord for that. But we want to make sure that we don't have just that understanding of it. Ministry is God's provision through humans by the service of other humans whom He has commissioned. I know that's a long thing, but let's keep that in mind. Because of that, we, each one of us, are ministers, we're witnesses for Jesus Christ, and we make disciples for Jesus Christ. That's the ministry we're talking about. And so today we're going to have some encouragement, some practical instructions, some how-tos from our passage. So if you have your Bibles, please open them up and let's go. Let's look and see what's there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We've been looking through the book of 2 Corinthians. We had a couple of weeks that we took off. But we're going to continue on and see what God has to say as we go step by step, chapter by chapter, verse by verse in this book of the Bible. Today, here's what we want to say. This is the kind of the kernel idea. Your ministry is important. The world is dark, so proclaim glorious Jesus. It's a little bit convoluted, but I hope that at the end this will stick with us and that we'll understand a little bit better what the passage is about this morning. Okay, so beginning there in chapter 4, verse 1, we have this. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. All right, so this is under the heading of our first statement, your ministry is important. And what we see right at the beginning here is that this ministry, by Paul's example here in his writing, to us is God's mercy. He says, therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. That is the foundation for life. It's God's mercy toward us that has us encouraged. You know, God has had mercy. He has saved us. And we remember, He called us to be a part of this most incredible endeavor in life ever. He's given us this task, each one of us, ministry. What ministry is that? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that ministry is what God has called us to do in the world. What is that? Here at Fellowship Bible Church, we put it out very plainly. We say, we are here to make disciples of Jesus Christ. We do that as we are a witness to Jesus Christ. Jesus, when He was done with His work and He was headed back to heaven, His work, the first time He was here and commissioning His disciples, said to us, "You will be my witnesses." They said, "Hey, is this the time that you're going to do your thing and now become the king and all this?" And He said, hold on. It's not for you to know times and seasons. But I can tell you this, you're going to be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the utmost parts of the world. We're the utmost parts of the world here. We are in Victoria, Texas, which is a long way away from Jerusalem, Judea. But God has reached us. Someone brought the gospel here, right? That's the ministry we're called to. Is there anything better than that? No, there isn't. So Paul gives us an example about this ministry through his own life. Something that we can learn from. So let's go to verse 2, all right? Your ministry is important. It's God's mercy to you. Verse 2 says this, "But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word." Paul had been accused of not being a true minister. He's kind of not at the top. And so he says, look, I want you to know that this ministry that God has given me and you has a certain way that it needs to be done. First of all, no games. No games. We're not playing games here. Since God has called us, since it's His mercy, since He's the one who's doing it, we take it seriously. You know, there's always a temptation to not take it seriously. Well, it's something that just happens on Sunday. And Sunday morning we go and we all put on a happy face. And how you doing? I'm doing great. How you doing? I'm doing great. And then we go back home and it's no longer ministry, it's no longer church, it's no longer any of that. He says, no, this is not the way it is. We are serious about it. There's this temptation. First, there's a temptation to manipulate people, but he says, don't manipulate people. Paul says here, look, your actions should not cheapen the gospel. He says, we have renounced the things that are hidden of shame, not walking in craftiness, not adulterating the word of God. We're not doing that. The gospel, the ministry of the gospel, you know, sometimes has been used for personal gain. We've got the whole example of some folks who have and teach what's called the health and wealth gospel. But that's usually an aberration. It's usually about, I will get what I want because God, I can make God do it. This is what the gospel is all about. Me getting healthy and me getting rich. Well, no, the gospel is not about that. Others will use the gospel as a platform to show off. You know, I'm going to show off my knowledge of theology, my intellect. Or I'm going to show off my piety for God, how holy I am. It can be as big as a multinational ministry that carries the name So-and-So Ministries International. Or it can be just the fact that, hey, I'm here at my church, but I am the gifted teacher. I'm one of the gifted teachers in my church. Or I'm a church leader. I'm a deacon, or I'm an elder, or I'm on the board, or whatever it is. It can easily become that. It can also happen to churches. Some churches are just about the numbers, you know, and so we'll do anything. We'll even do this. We're going to put a thing on the TV so that if you come to our church, you get a free car wash while you wait, you know. Being facetious, but that's the point. A lot of people are underhanded. You know, how big we are, how many converts we've had, all this. And it's an obsession. And usually, it's underhanded. It's gimmicky. That's not what ministry is about. Paul also says that we don't tamper with the Word of God. That's another temptation, to change the message. If the gospel is too heavy-handed on sin, Well, don't preach it or change it. Make it about becoming your best self. Make it about health and wealth. Sure, God wants to bless us. But no, he tells us first, you got to deal with sin, and I've come to deal with your sin. Do that. If we don't like it, though, some say we don't mention it, we soften it, we change it. Homosexuality. It's really not in the Bible, you know. It's not there. No. But that's not true. That's not true at all. So, we don't manipulate people and we don't tamper with the Word of God. This is not a game that we're playing. No, we're not playing the game of ministry. We're legitimate. That's our thing here. Legitimate. The second part of verse 2 shows us that. This is the example of Paul. He says, "But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God." There you go. Honest statements of God's truth. Paul tells the believers in Corinth and us, open and honest. We proclaim the truth of God's word openly and clearly. Of course, this means we need to know the word of God and we need to know how to communicate it clearly. This is important. As a preacher, it is very tempting to sometimes make the Bible a launching pad for your own message, or to try to enhance it so that you can get people to pay attention and pay attention to you. It's very easy. But no, this is not what we're to do. We're to be open statements of the truth of God's word. And then he says, on top of that, we commend ourselves. He says, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. God is at work in people's lives. We get to be a part of what he's doing, but he's at work. And so when he says this, commend ourselves to everyone's conscience, what does he mean? I think it has to do with the word commend. When you commend yourself, you're putting yourself out there as one who personally believes what they are promoting and are willing to back it up personally. I'll give you an example. Some of us are old enough to know about a TV commercial called the Hair Club for Men. Remember that? Hair Club for Men. I know that Carl doesn't have to worry about that. He's got a mane. But this man would come out and he would go through the process of telling you about this hair transplant thing. There was a company called Hair Club for Men. And the hair transplant, they would take hair from back here for guys who would go bald and put them up here, and then you would look younger and you could be back in the game, you know. And then at the end of the commercial, you would have this guy who's been telling you about the whole time, and he would say something like this: "Well, look, I'm not just telling you about this. I'm actually a user myself." And they'd have a picture of him before and a picture after. He had gotten the plugs himself. He's commending himself. It's not just about what he's trying to sell. No, he is a part. He says, "Look, I'm all in. I'm all in." That's what this means. He says, "Look, we're commending ourselves. We are a part of the message in that we are there. It's true. It's mine. It's real. And we're going to commend yourself to God. I mean, to your conscience. God's at work in you. We're going to be a part of that. We're not hypocritical about this thing." And then this is all done with the ultimate accountability, which is, at the end, the statement there, we do it before God. So we're not manipulating people. We're legitimately witnessing. We proclaim God's truth, his word. We are examples ourselves, and we back it with our life before God. All of this, man, is a recipe for this guy, this person, you and I, if we do it this way, for success, right? I mean, you're legitimate. You know what you're saying. It's before God. All these things are wonderful. And this is what Paul is telling us. It's the mercy of God in our life. So the next question should pop up in our minds, and it has in mine, and maybe in yours. Then why isn't it as prevalent and as popular as it should be? I mean, this is legit stuff. Why aren't people knocking the doors down to come to see what's going on in the church and what's happening in your life? Why not? Well, I think that's where Paul goes next. And this is the second point, right? The world is dark. Let me read to you verses 3 and 4. The world is dark. Verses 3 and 4, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So, your ministry is important, and we want to do it the right way. It's God's mercy. We don't tamper with it. We're honest. We're all in. But we're doing this in a dark world. If it happened to Jesus, remember, he was rejected, right? He told us that if he's rejected, we should surely understand that it's going to happen to us. Why? Well, right here, it's very clear. The gospel is veiled, in a sense, hidden. Not in the sense that it's been put in a secret place and you have to have the decoder ring and the map and the whole thing. No, that's not the point. The point is that it's not accessible to certain people. You know that the world is dark out there. For all the splash and flash and dash that's out there, truth sometimes is hard to find. It's not held high, especially not the truth of the Creator and His Son, Jesus Christ. He's the only light of the world. You're not going to hear that on CNN. You're not going to hear it on Fox News. And that's why sometimes it's hard and discouraging. You know, you get out there and you're called to share the gospel. You're called to be in ministry. But that's not what the world is about. They're not about that. They're not about Jesus Christ. They're not about God. Let me do my life. And so that's where it gets difficult. It's a dark world out there. And the gospel is hidden. It's hidden to certain people. What kind of people? Dying people. It says it there. It's hidden. You know, veiled to those who are perishing. And when I read that, veiled to those who are perishing, I said, now, Paul, I know you're straightforward, man, but this is just a little bit over the top. The gospel is hidden to those who are dying. Poor people, they're dying. Is that what he means? Well, no, he's telling us the reality of it. There are people out there who are dying. The gospel is hidden to people who are dying. And then he goes on and he makes it a little tougher. And he says it's hidden to those who are dying because the God of this world has blinded their minds. And that's even worse. They've been blinded by the enemy. And so, one of the things we take from here is that in this context, it's not the gospel that's bad. It's not the messenger who has committed himself to do ministry the way that it's said here. It's because there is this warfare going on. They've been influenced by the God of this world. And notice here that Paul used this designation. He calls him the God of this world. Of course, it's God with little g, but it is the God of this world. They're unable to see because the God of this world is out there. Ephesians 2:2 calls the God of this world the prince of the power of the air. He's now at work in the sons of disobedience. So we've got to understand, Paul is saying here, look, the world is dark because the world is under the control. It's the domain of Satan. He is the prince of this world. He's the God of this world. Does this mean that God, the true God, has abdicated, moved on, given in to the enemy? No. But God has allowed him to rule. And one of the reasons we know that is in order to bring as many folks to himself before he brings the hammer down. And God is going to bring the hammer down. We know that. Before Jesus comes back to destroy the enemy. He wants to make sure that as many people hear the gospel can. So the ones who don't respond to the gospel is because they're dead. They're unable to do so. They've been blinded by the enemy. And all this is due to this next statement that we read here. Paul stacks these things up. He says they're dead. He says they've been blinded. And then he says this. In their case, the God of this world has blinded their the minds of what? What does your text say? Unbelievers. Unbelievers. And there it is. Unbelievers, those who don't believe, who have no faith in Christ. It's because they don't believe. And so here we have it. We have this, all of a sudden, this thing here where you have, does this mean that God's not able to save them because they don't believe? Well, this is the mystery of the free will of man and the sovereignty of God. How does this work? How does it work that they can not believe, but then they're blinded and they're perishing? How does somebody who's perishing able to believe? How does this all work together? I don't know. Well, this is a mystery. And the scriptures speak of it. It speaks of both. And I find comfort, and I'm going to hope that you find comfort. Let me explain. In both of these. In the matter of free will, because the Bible says, you believe, you have eternal life. Everyone who believes. That matter of free will is the dignity that God gives a person. I can really want to love God. I can do that. God doesn't just come up and say, well, I'm going to make you love me and you're going to kind of love me, you know? No. I want it to be me. If I'm going to love God, if I'm going to be all in, I want it to be me. I really want to love God, don't you? You don't just go halfway. Well, God kind of did work, but it didn't take too good with me, you know? No. So that's the comfort, the dignity of every human being. We're made in the image of God, so we have that dignity. But then we have the other side, the matter of God's sovereignty. And the matter of God's sovereignty is another comfort because it gives us the security and the assurance that God loves us fully and completely. It's both. How beautiful it is. And these two things should pull us closer to God in gratitude and in love. And they're positive, wonderful blessings. Wow. And Paul, I think, gets carried away with that in a sense. Because here at the end, he says, you know, they've been blinded to all this, the unbelievers, but they're not able to see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. See that there? This whole thing about the gospel, this whole thing about ministry, is not this dull and dreary thing that happens only in church. No, it's the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ. It's a dark world, but Jesus comes into this dark world. We have these hearts that are not alive, but Jesus comes here. And it's this wonderful thing that happens. God does it. The light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ. It's this brightness that shines in the dark. It's the good news. High, inspiring, lifted up, worthy. So when you think of your ministry, you think of your life as a believer, remember it's not this religious thing. It's this, we're showing this being, God Himself, coming to us, who can do anything, who's made us, and it's glorious. Is there anything better than that? No, there isn't. You may be called to ministry at the plant. You may be called to ministry as an engineer. You may be called to ministry as a welder or whatever it is that God calls you to. But your calling is to be a witness for Christ there. And Jesus is the most awesome thing. He's glorious. He's the image of God. It's awesome. So when it comes to our call to witness for Jesus, we're to be honest, we're to be not underhanded, because it's about Jesus, it's this mercy of God. We're to be truthful with God's word and with ourselves, with all in integrity. When people don't respond to God's message, we're not to give up, because it's not us, but it's a choice to not believe, because they're dead and blinded by the enemy. Oh. So what remains? Well, Paul goes on here, because this next thing talks about how God does it. If they're blinded and all this is going and Jesus is so good, well then what's going on there? Well, verse 5. Verse 5 says, "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And then again, glory. And it just stands out. Glory. We're going to get to that. But glory. So what do we do here? Well, we proclaim Jesus because He is glorious. But He tells us first, through His example, we proclaim Him but not ourselves. Right? We don't do that. It's not about us. It's not about any other person. The truth of ministry, the truth of gospel, the truth of your life is it's all about Jesus. And this truth is effective. If we make it about ourselves, you know, whether I look impressive or I look good, we betray the gospel. You know, we are to tell our story, but our story is about Jesus who saved us. If we do something else, we're wrong and we're seeking to please ourselves. We don't seek to please that other person, because if we do that, sometimes we may not tell them that they're sinners. No, you're a sinner. You need Jesus. I think, you know, through the days and through the years that I've been working in church and in ministry, I've learned this thing, but I think I probably learned it more at home than anywhere else. You know, people don't need me. They really don't. Oh, she's so sweet. But when you come down to it, they need Jesus. Now, if I align myself with him and I work through that, and, you know, I'm humble enough to do that, praise God. But, you know, if you try to do it your way and you try to do it with your own strength, chances are you're going to mess up big time. They don't need me. They need Jesus. They do. And once we get that in our life, it is a very comforting, a very freeing thing. As a mother, they need to see Jesus in me as a mother. They need to see Jesus in me as a father, as an employee, as an employer. That's the best thing. You know, I have nothing else to offer except Jesus Christ, his life working through me. So we proclaim Jesus Christ and not ourselves. And it's a very freeing thing. And the reason is, verse 5, we're merely servants, you know. Our role is just to be a servant. He says, we're servants. And we accomplish this as servants. You know, we don't manipulate the gospel, we're legitimate about it, and we're humble. And this is not the way of the world. The way of the world, you know, being a servant is demeaning. No, you're going to let people walk all over you? No, you got to stand up for yourself. You know, you're climbing the ladder. If you have to, you climb over people and you knock them down as you're going up. But that's not true. That's not the way things really are, right? How do we know that? Well, you remember Jesus. The night before he died, what did he do? He washed people's feet. You know, he was a servant. In fact, in the Old Testament, Isaiah 53, he's called servant of God. In fact, when he was telling us about how life can be tough here on earth, he said what? Hey, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Learn from me. Take my yoke upon you, and you'll find that I am meek and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. And so Jesus' very life with us is one to service. He is the main ox. You know, we're the guys who's learning from him. He's got the yoke on him, and he says, hey, dude, watch me, and you'll be able to do this. And that's for life. Ah, awesome. And so there it is. You know, we proclaim Jesus. Our life is about him. He's glorious. Not ourselves. We're merely servants. And so being like Jesus is what we have. We're not out to impress. We're just faithful. And God wants us to be faithful. And then Paul says, look, after all this thing, I want you to know it's God who's doing it. And he does awesome stuff. Verse 6, where he says here, for God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, has shown in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ the Messiah. Jesus the Messiah. And there we go back. Paul says, look, after all is said and done, God's the one doing this thing. He does the work. Just like he did when there was darkness at the beginning of creation, he is going to shine in your heart. Now, remember, the enemy has blinded. What is the domain of the enemy right now? We said it. The world. The prince of the power of the air, right? That's his domain. What is God's domain? He shines in our hearts. Is it that he's abdicated? No. But Jesus came here, and he came to me personally, and he comes to you, each one of you personally, and he says, look, I'm going to change you. That is going to be my domain. And you go, yes. Jesus came personally. He didn't just send flyers from heaven, you know. He just kind of carpet bombed with flyers. Come to me and you'll be fine. No, he came himself. And he says this here as well. He says, what is it? Has shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus. He came personally. Jesus came himself. He came to our hearts, and he came here so that we could see him face to face. You know how it is, right? Have you ever been walking, maybe when you were in school or down the street or when you're in the grocery store? And the thing is, when you look at somebody's face and you look at their eyes, sometimes it's like, oh, excuse me, I don't want to look at you. Because you know that when you look at somebody in the face, it becomes personal all of a sudden, right? When you look at somebody, it's personal. As long as you can keep from looking at them, we have this friend in our neighborhood who won't ever make eye contact, you know? We'll be walking down the street or riding our bikes and we go, hey, how's it going, Justin? And he's like, it's that personal thing. You know, some people are very uncomfortable. But the point here is that Jesus, it's the face of Jesus. He actually came. His domain is in our heart and he's very personal. That's the kind of ministry that we have. That's what God has told us to do. And so it's wonderful. Here it's the knowledge, the light of the knowledge of God's glory. A dark world can only be won by whom? The one who can shine light in the darkness, Jesus himself. And he does it in the domain of our hearts, and he did it in a personal way by coming here to be with us. He does the work, the glory of God in the face of Jesus. How awesome is that? So, we got to the end here, right? And we've seen that your ministry, what you're called to by the mercy of God, is important. It's very significant. We know that he's called us to be in this dark world. And so if we're rejected, it's not because the gospel is wrong, and it's not when we follow this that we've done something wrong. And then we know that it's God who accomplishes this work. We proclaim Jesus. He is the glorious one. So let me say this. Chances are that someone followed this in your life, took ministry seriously for you. That's why you're here, right? Chances are. They saw the importance of it. They weren't going to play games. They were going to be legitimate. Maybe it was a parent in your life who took it seriously. Or maybe a Sunday school teacher. I've heard stories about Sunday school teachers, how they, it wasn't just going through the motions for them, you know. No, they took it seriously. They weren't called a full-time minister, but they were ministers of the gospel. Maybe it was just a friend. Maybe you were at camp, you know, and someone, a camp counselor there, took it seriously in your life. Maybe you've had this experience where you have, you know, seen that God has called you to talk to someone, to be their friend, to be there and to tell them about your life. And you've seen it happen. Not just going through the motions. You're honest with the ministry, and you're legitimate because it's you who's witnessing. And so we want to make sure that we're there. Where are you now? Where are you in ministry? Are you witnessing about Jesus? Are you making disciples? This is what we're called to do. You've got COVID, you've got all this stuff happening in the world right now, and it's so easy the enemy can distract us from, no, this is what we're about. And especially now, when the world is dark and in turmoil, we've got the gospel. We can do good in the world. It can be as simple as family devotions. It can be as simple as sharing the gospel with your child before they go to bed. It can be with a friend over a cup of coffee. Or it can be teaching Sunday school. It can be as much as going to the mission field as a missionary. But the question is, are you doing it? You've been called to it. Honestly, not playing games, not hoodwinking people. Not out to impress, not seeking to chalk up another name, but doing it because of God's mercy in your life. So that's a question. Are you doing it? Second question is this. Do you know God's word enough to accurately proclaim it? Are you studying God's word? Are you letting God fill you with his word, the truth about Jesus? Do you know about salvation? Can you share that? You know, can you share the gospel clearly? That's why we're here, you know, on Sunday morning. That's why we got people who are gifted in that area. If you don't know how to do it, we'll help you. We'll certainly help you do it. And then third, the question is here, are you all in? I mean, are you sharing from your own experience? And that is a question of, is Jesus, God's presence in your life, a reality? Or is he just kind of this idea you have over here that every now and then you take off the shelf and you look at it, Jesus, God, interesting. Let's put it back up. Is he real? I mean, what I mean is he the one that you walk through your days with? You know, is the Holy Spirit the one there that when anything happens, you go to him for help? You turn to him first. You know, ours is to be a witness to the reality of God in the world. And if he's not real to you, then don't try to pass it on. But he's awesome. And so we boil this whole thing down. The awesome thing about this whole thing is it's the glory of Jesus. And he's come to us. He's the awesome one. He's the true and the only one. And we're on his side. And he's made us a part of what he's doing. And so we pass him on. We don't have to be slick or impressive. No. Be legit. You know, be honest, truthful, clear, all in. No playing games. This is what the world needs, because it's a dark world out there. The enemies at work blinding people who don't believe and who are dying, and the light of glorious Jesus is going to shine on them. He's going to use you and me to do it. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. So, your ministry is important. The world is dark, so proclaim Jesus, especially now. He is glorious. He's glorious. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can hold Jesus Christ up high, that we can hold your word up there, and that it is true and relevant to us, and it instructs us and encourages us, Lord. We have a how-to here. We can go back to it and read through it again. Thank you that you've called us to be a part of what you're doing. Thank you for Paul's example. Thank you, Lord, that yes, ministry is important. It is what we're about. Thank you, Lord, that even though we live in a dark world, the light of Jesus Christ can shine through and he's going to use us to do it. Thank you for all these things. May your name be honored and blessed among us. In his name, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.